Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio. One of the things that I did this afternoon is a little research. I read an article by Dr. Michelle Cretella, and it's titled, "I'm a Pediatrician, How Transgender Ideology Has Infiltrated My Field and Produced Large-Scale Child Abuse." And as I read through her article, I was just appalled at the data. She explained in a peer-reviewed article, it was titled "Gender Dysphoria in Children and Suppression of Debate," that professionals who dare to question the unscientific party line of supporting gender transition therapy will find themselves maligned and out of a job. In other words, you sort of have to follow lockstep the social engineering, the narrative that we are now hearing in our culture. We're supposed to accept it as though it were true. Now, this article, again, is from a pediatrician who has served 17 years as a board-certified general pediatrician, a board member and researcher for the American College of Pediatricians, and served as its president. She also sat on the board of directors for the Alliance of Therapeutic Choice and Scientific Integrity from 2010 to 2015. All of that to say that this pediatrician has chops. And she points out that the transition affirming protocol tells parents to treat their children as the gender they desire and to place them on puberty blockers around age 11 or 12 if they are considered gender dysphoric. And if by age 16 the children still insist that they're trapped in the wrong body, they're placed on cross-sex hormones, and biological girls may obtain a double mastectomy. As far as so-called bottom surgeries are concerned, genital reassignment surgeries, well, they're not recommended before age 18, though some surgeons have argued against this restriction. The transition-affirming approach has been embraced by public institutions in media, education, in our legal system, and is recommended by most national medical organizations. I mean, this is terrifying stuff. And yet the idea that feminized or masculinized brains can be trapped in the wrong body from before birth is a myth with no basis in science. Again, this from someone who knows what they're talking about. And even the American Psychological Association's Handbook of Sexuality and Psychology admits that prior to the widespread promotion of transition affirmation, 75% to 95% of prepubertal children who were distressed by their biological sex eventually outgrew that distress. The vast majority came to accept their biological sex by late adolescence after passing naturally through puberty. But with transition, affirmation, now increasing in Western culture, the number of children claiming distress over their gender has dramatically increased. Here's a great example. The Gender Identity Development Service in the United Kingdom alone has seen a 2,000% increase in referrals since 2009. You think a narrative doesn't matter? This is amazing. Of course, there is a very serious ethical problem in allowing irreversible, life-changing procedures to be performed on minors who are too young themselves to give valid consent. And prior to the widespread promotion of transition affirmation, well, again, the percentages are staggering. Up to 95% of gender dysphoric youth ended up happy with their biological sex after simply passing through puberty. Here's another point made by the doctor. Adults who undergo sex reassignment, even in Sweden, which is among the most LGBT-affirming countries in the world, have a suicide rate nearly 20 times greater than that of the general population. Conclusion, clearly sex reassignment is not the solution to gender dysphoria. And yet the transition-affirming movement is using the myth that people are born transgender to justify engaging in massive, uncontrolled, unconsented experimentation on children who have a psychological condition that would otherwise resolve after puberty in the vast majority of cases. So the bottom line, according to the doctor, is that today's institutions that promote transition affirmation are pushing children to impersonate the opposite sex, sending many of them down the path of puberty blockers, sterilization, the removal of healthy body parts, and untold psychological damage. Again, the conclusion, these harms constitute nothing less than institutionalized child abuse. So why do I share that with our audience? I share that because it is time for us to wake up. I mean, this has happened before. Huxley's eugenic ambitions. Huxley, of course, was the bulldog of Charles Darwin. He popularized and promoted Darwin's theories, as did his progeny. There were a lot of Huxleys involved in the mix. But Huxley had eugenic ambitions. He believed Darwin's theory with such fervor that he wanted to protect the gene pool. So the idea is that you got to keep the gene pool from being infected with less fit genes. Now, how are you going to do that? We have to figure out who has less fit genes. Well, back then, the idea was, well, maybe blacks have less fit genes. And probably Jews have as well. And then, of course, there are those who have physical or psychological maladies. They're going to pollute the gene pool as well. So what do we have to do? We'll sterilize them. War, as in the death camps of Germany, experiment on them and then get rid of them. So you had this incredible social experiment. And you say, well, that was Germany. No, that was America. America set the tone for this in the most prestigious universities on the planet, including Stanford. So here we have an idea that today has been thoroughly discarded. Why? Because it saw its culmination in something that was so ghastly, people finally woke up. We're in that same position today, and now with the most innocent among us, kids, we're experimenting on them. You realize that North Carolina is still paying reparations to families that suffered under eugenics? I mean, we're still paying for that today. That social experiment has been discarded. No one wants to even live up to the fact that it happened. Well, we're doing the same thing, but now again, the experimentation is on children. And again, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph, as has been well said, is for good people to do nothing. And we cannot be part of the problem, particularly as Christians. How many times do I have to repeat the words of Jesus? We have been called to be salt and light. And if the salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So you are the light of the world. It's important for you to be informed and then to act on the information so you can influence your children, your family members, your friends, your circle of influence. Make a difference while there's yet time. Be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your questions answered right here in just a moment.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Hank will be back after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And we're going to go right to our callers. First up, Charlie in Alabama. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in and let you know how much I enjoy my ride home due to the way you answer questions in a matter-of-factly kind of way. Never shove your opinion. You take what's in the Bible and you tell people the answer. I think that's awesome. I use a lot of it. I deal with recovering addicts because I am one. And I use a lot of what I hear on my way home. I use that in my approach toward people in spreading the gospel. And I wanted to thank you for that. And I did have a question for you. There's a lot of preachers that I don't watch anymore because of discernment. But there's one that I listen to in the mornings. I listen to them in the morning, and I listen to you in the afternoon. And it's Dr. Youssef. What do you know about him and his ministry?
Well, he's in Atlanta, I believe, if I recall. Michael Youssef. In fact, I've spoken at his church. I forget the name of the church now, but it's something cathedral. I know cathedral's in the title, but yeah, terrific, terrific guy. I believe he was born in Egypt, if I remember correctly. But yeah, he is just a terrific guy on all levels.
Awesome. I'm on my way right now to actually go to see a person in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to try something that I've never done. I'm going to lay my hands on him.
Oh, wonderful.
And, you know, and ask for God's healing. He's like 6 years younger than I am, and they can't find the bleeding. So.
Oh, my goodness. What is his name?
His name is Jason.
Jason. Okay, yeah. So maybe a lot of other people will pray for Jason as well. I think of what James says, if anyone of you is in trouble, he should pray. If anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. If any of you are sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is a powerful and effective tool. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. That passage applies to what you're talking about, Charlie. We're called to pray for the sick, to anoint them with oil, just as James tells us to do that. But remember, we're also told to pray for people's salvation. And what we understand is our prayer and presentation of the gospel doesn't save anyone. It's the Holy Spirit that changes the heart. And therefore, our prayer for the sick is efficacious if it is in concert with the will of God. And to make that plain, you just have to go back one chapter to James chapter 4, where James talks about praying in the will of the Lord, that this is your will, Lord, otherwise I don't want it. And he says that anything else is boasting and bragging. So praying in accordance with the will of the Lord is axiomatic in our prayers, and what you do at the hospital tonight is in obedience to the command of Scripture. So good for you, Charlie.
Well, thank you, Hank, and you keep on, buddy.
Thanks for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kelly in North Carolina. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Look, I have a question to ask you.
Sure.
All right, the saying of it is that the person that I'm speaking of, okay, basically they, because their husband couldn't come back into the country because he, you know, was an illegal alien, or they came back to America, they met another man, and they were involved with the man within 2 weeks. And they're telling me that they were blessed, that this was a blessing. something from God. And I'm like, well, how can it be when you're still married to that man? And I thought that in the Word of God, it talks about that is adultery. But yet the person, she's actually living with this man and have her children involved in it as well.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Kelly. I mean, I think ultimately, if you come down to the foundational principles, you have to ask yourself, am I a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you adhere to his principles and his precepts. And so if someone is saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but living in a way that is in opposition to his principles and precepts, then the words of their mouth, their worldview, and what they do demonstrates that they are yet living according to a pagan lifestyle as opposed to one that is based on the purchase by Jesus Christ, where you have repented of your sins and you say, I am now following Jesus Christ. I mean, now, this does not mean that a person has everything under control, nor does it mean that a person knows all of the precepts and principles of the Lord. Quite frankly, I don't think any of us know that perfectly. I mean, we are seeking more and more to follow Christ and what he has given to us in terms of the principles of the kingdom. And obviously, the moment we say, I am a participant, then we must follow what we participate in. And so it's not just about a declaration of faith, it's about actually living a life of faith. So I would say in this situation, most certainly what you have is an opportunity for evangelism. And that evangelism takes place not only by the testimony of your lips, as important as that might be, but the testimony of your love as well as the testimony of your life. Let's tag team this a little bit, Christina. How about a Facebook question?
Okay, so we have Denver from Trinidad, and his question is, have you ever been discouraged thinking that no one is interested in hearing the truth of God's word? If so, how did you motivate yourself to keep toiling?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind when you read that Facebook question is a man, and I think I've told this story before on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a man down in Southern California, Jehovah's Witness. And I remember him coming to my seminars. He'd come to my sermons. If I did any kind of a convention, oftentimes he'd be there. Wherever I was in Southern California, he seemed to show up, always engaging me in dialogue. And it was so fruitless and frustrating, I can't tell you. And I remember thinking, one Sunday as I was driving away from a church, I had another encounter with him. I mean, always the last guy, and have this conversation with him, and it's just like nails in the chalkboard. It's like no possibility that this guy will ever get out of what he is entrenched in. And so it's a discouraging thing. Well, it turns out many, many years later, I don't remember the circumstances at this point as I'm sitting in the studio, whether he sent me a letter or whether he called me or whether this was on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I just can't tell you off the top of my head. But I know that this same Jehovah's Witness, I found out, not only came to faith in Christ, but now had a program in a Christian church teaching Christians how to witness to the witnesses. So what's the moral of that story? The moral of that story for me is, look, we don't have to win. We simply need to be faithful. And in that particular case, I don't know all the details. Again, I don't remember all the details, but I likely planted a seed through all our conversations. Someone came by afterwards and watered that seed, and ultimately, God gave the increase.
Amen. I mean, the thing that I thought of immediately was that, you know, God chooses to use us even though he does not need us. So it's like that thing where you're dwelling in the land of antinomy, like you say, where we plan our course, but God directs our steps, as it says in Proverbs 16:9. And I think it's important to remember that even though we could toil after getting someone to know God or to be interested in the gospel, knowing that God will use what we have spoken or use us in conjunction with other people to bring others to Christ is something comforting, that God is in control. When I went to San Francisco, I had a similar experience where there was a homeless man who they came year after year and day after day to this guy. And at first he wouldn't accept the lunchbox, did not want anything to do with it. But gradually over time, he accepted the lunchbox, and then he was like, okay, maybe I'll talk to you. And then eventually he heard what they had to say. So I think it's important to remember that the seed analogy, that we can plant seeds that God will water and that we just have to trust him. And it's not about us, it's about him working through us.
That's a great Facebook question. You know what? You're putting your old dad to shame. Good for you.
I wouldn't say that.
No, you're doing great. I look forward to seeing you next time soon.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.